Well, friends, God created us in his image. In fact, he was engaging us in having dominion over all things and exercising our creative skills for him. Adam and Eve were to till the ground and dress it, to make it beautiful and productive to the glory of God. That was mankind's original remit and responsibility to his creator. It was to glorify God on the earth. And God had endowed man with gifts and talents towards that end. Everything was to be done to the glory of God, the mundane, as we call it, as well as the spiritual. Now, note, man's first task was a physical task, gardening of all things. We were created to work with our hands as well as our minds, to glorify God with our hands and with our bodies as well as with our souls. And as he unfolded to us all the mysteries of creation as each day passed, everything was to be done to his honour and to his praise. So our first parents' motive in their daily work in the garden was to serve and to praise God in their work that they were engaged in subduing the earth and in having dominion over all living things. And as each day passed, Adam and Eve grew in knowledge and in about the earth and about God's creation. They discovered more and more about the wonders of creation and the complexities of life. Work was a huge part of daily life. And all work, no matter how menial we may call some aspects of work, every aspect of work had dignity because work reflected the image of God in which he created us. And he is still himself constantly at work. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." John 5, verse 17. God is at work each day, upholding and sustaining the universe and fulfilling his plan, which is to make his name known in all the earth. No work is menial or unworthy of praise and honour to God. Luther said, "A cowgirl can milk cows to the glory of God. Hospital assistants, sluicing toilets can do so to the glory of God." Now our work, which takes up a huge percentage of our lives, is a very important concept. Work is not to be seen as mainly a way of earning money or as a means of self-fulfillment or self-aggrandizement, but as a fulfillment of our calling from God on earth. Now, God's long-term objective for the world, his plan, as he intimated quite distinctly to Abraham, and many times thereafter in Scripture, is that all nations, not some, but all nations, would be blessed through his people. That's Abraham's seed, the church of God. The fall of mankind into sin has not changed that objective. Sadly, of course, the fall has changed mankind's whole view of life. Mankind has now become self-centered and not God-centered. Our whole view of life, our objective of life, is how we, not God, can be happy. As the Christian French philosopher Blaise Pascal said, "All men seek happiness, even the man on his way to commit suicide." Every decision we make is to put ourselves first and to make sure that we're happy about things. From the moment we get up in the morning, our desire is to please ourselves and to advance ourselves. Take the very issue of work. How do we choose which type of work we will enter into? What is the determining factor in work? Is it not the type of work that we will earn, which will earn us the most money? We seek the most lucrative jobs for ourselves and teach our children also to look for that type of work so that we can have a nice home, nice cars, nice holidays, etc., etc. We seek work that will enable us to obtain all pleasurable things of life. That's generally and mainly the whole objective of our lives. And we seek to have a good reputation as well in the world, to be well thought of in the community. We want to be respected and admired among people. We enjoy the praises of men. And so we are indeed just like the builders of the Tower of Babel, who said, "Let us make a name for ourselves." Genesis 11, verse 4. We want to have a good name in our own communities and to be appreciated and acclaimed as good members of society. We do our best to defend ourselves from any criticisms so we can guard our reputations. We want to make a name for ourselves instead of making God's name known in all the earth among unbelievers. We want people to appreciate us. So the decisions that we make regarding work and employment are generally indeed self-centered and not God-centered. How far removed this concept of work is from what God designed it to be. Work was all to be to the glory of God. The gifts and talents he endowed us with was to further advance his good name on the earth. God has given everyone, yes, everyone, gifts and talents to fulfill his purposes for us in life. Note how God instructed Moses about the workers he was to engage and employ for the most important building in all the world. What was that, by the way? What do you think was the most important building in all the world? I think it was the tabernacle, God's house. And God said about the main builder and architect of that house, Bezalel, "See, I've filled him with the Spirit of God." Spirit of God. "With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft." That's in Exodus chapter 31 at the beginning. Isn't that amazing? God's Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, enabled Bezalel's ingenuity and his hands to skillfully craft artistic designs from raw materials to form beautiful images and useful tools. The Apostle Paul tells us that from eternity, God prepared good works for us to do to his glory. The important part then is to do things to the glory of God. But if we are genuinely doing it to the glory of God, we will all be contributing to the final product that God has planned for his people. In our daily endeavour to glorify God in whatever humble work or duty we have to do, God will accept our efforts in Christ. For he will, like the high priest in the Old Testament, sprinkle the offerings made with blood. But in our case, it will be the precious blood of Jesus Christ that will be sprinkled on our imperfect works, done faithfully to the glory of God, blood which purifies us from all sin. So let us not seek a name for ourselves, but a good name for the Lord our God and for his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us learn from the ups and downs of life, as well as from our mistakes and sins. And so, as the Apostle Paul said, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing everything to the glory of God, knowing that in the Lord your labour, your work is not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. So may God bless these thoughts to us.